Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The proclamation of the law is God's alien work. It is Christ's alien work. It must also be our alien work, but it is a work that must be done. Paul had been regretting his having grieved the flock in Corinth, a flock that he had begun through his missionary endeavors, in which he had lovingly served for 2 years. To our flesh, it is not a pleasant task to use the power of the law. It is, in fact, a terribly difficult task that can only be carried out by a true theologian, and it must always be carried out to the glory of Christ. Luther said, as I know you have learned, that God makes a theologian through meditatio, tentatio, and oratio. And part of the pastor or missionary's tentatio is that which he suffers for having preached the law to the impenitent, then waiting and searching for the opportunity to preach the glory of the gospel. Satan quickly comes and says, did God really mean to say this in his word? The world chimes in with its blistering accusations that the preacher of the law is unloving, cruel, and hard-hearted. Again, preaching the law of God is not child's play. It is to be on the front line of the spiritual battle against the principalities and powers of darkness. Of course, Luther also has said, whoever knows well how to distinguish the gospel from the law should give thanks to God and know that he is a true theologian. But he also continues, I admit that in the time of temptation, I myself do not know how to do this as I should. The great doctor confessed his shortcomings. How much more should we? All students of theology must make it their life's greatest endeavor to know how to distinguish the gospel from the law. Without it, you do not have the holy ministry, Christ's office, and without it, you do not have the church of Christ, but only a worldly gathering, the fellowship or community of the pagan using God's name in vain. In evangelism, this proper distinction is where it all begins, even with the first contact, or perhaps especially with that first contact, for it might be your last. In fact, it is not a contact, unless you have properly, again, considered this distinction between law and gospel and acted upon it. Here, one does agonize and sometimes regret. And again, you are on the front lines of the battle. The foe is before you and around you, and your only shield and weapon is the word, properly divided. Timing requires precision. Do I speak now? Do I ask another question? Do I direct the person now to the word, or do I let the poor soul continue speaking? Do I use the sword of the law or the comforting cloak of the gospel? Have I moved too quickly to the gospel? Have I cut too deeply with the law? Many a pastor and missionary like Paul have felt the pangs of the flesh when considering their proper use of that rod and staff in Christ Jesus' place. Again, it is not child's play. Think of Paul. He had to wait until Titus brought back the report. How many nights did he kneel in prayer for that congregation as he awaited word on their reception of the divine counsel that had come through his administration of the mysteries of God? And how he rejoiced when he learned that his use of the law brought godly sorrow that led to repentance. Of course, that preaching of the law came through an epistle that was also filled with the gospel. and inspired perfect balance between law and gospel came from his pen, yet the apostle grieved over the results. How much more should we have a passionate concern over our efforts? How much more should we pray that fruits come from our sowing and watering with the word, praying with earnest understanding, "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." In missions and evangelism, we need not wait today for a letter through a slow courier service. But we must be moved to do what any shepherd would do for that which is lost. We must go out and look for that sheep, or perhaps even that flock, time and time again. And when the sheep or the flock is found, once again, anxiety might take place. How will I be received? How has my past counsel been considered, or has that counsel even crossed their mind since we last parted? This is again part of the tentatio of a shepherd. It drives one to prayer, to oratio, and it must drive one further into the word, meditatio. And it must always guide and lead us, as Paul says earlier in the same epistle, to walk by faith and not by sight. Even when there are perceived visual or audible results, one must not look at the results, but continue to walk by faith. Faith in Christ's own righteousness. Faith in his victory, already won, and never by faith in our measured gains or losses. Finally, Paul also speaks to one of the greatest temptations for a missionary, speaking from my own experience, to try to please, to be dynamic, to be winsome, to be liked. As Christ's ambassador, Paul no doubt wanted to be liked, but we do not want, obviously, our human blemishes to stand in the way of the gospel. We want to be liked in our ministry, but it must never, ever be at the expense of the truth that defines that ministry of Christ. Paul's preaching brought to repentance. Repentance is deep grief and sorrow, often accompanied by tears. Peter, David, the thief on the cross, all had to weep bitterly in repentance. Members of the flock, pastors, missionaries, must learn such repentance that must be exercised daily. But this weeping that leads first to repentance later leads to the joy of salvation through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here, our being liked is thrown completely out of the picture, and all glory is given to our Lord Jesus Christ. In Corinth, the congregation as a whole turned back in a great change of heart from the wrong and sinful course it had followed. Their indifference towards sin was converted to earnestness and zeal. The congregation was turned back to Christ and the pardon and peace that he alone gives. Such pardon and peace always produces the joy of salvation. Again, not our being liked is important, but Christ Jesus is glorified and all is gain. A pastor, a missionary, preaching the law to the end that his entire congregation has a godly sorrow leading to repentance. Can we have such a thing today? That's risky business. He might not be liked. This is a profound, mysterious work that only a theologian can do. It is a work that only Christ Jesus can do. But he does it. Christ Jesus alone does it through his office, with his word, by the power of his Holy Spirit. There, Christ Jesus himself makes his people. He makes them to be his temple, in which his great radiant glory cloud continues to dwell and give light to all the nations. What is important is not our being liked, but being faithful to the proper distinction between law and gospel. What is not important is our being liked. What is important is our being loved. The world's being loved. Not by men, but by God in Christ Jesus. And Jesus is glorified now and forever. Amen.